the testimonies bear witness to the goodness of moms. I'm thankful for my mother, and as I said, God always gives grace as we look and see how God does work. I always knew my mom loved me. She wasn't a believer. She wasn't a born-again believer, but 4 days before she passed, she called upon the Lord Jesus to be her Savior. And God allowed me the privilege of being with her at that time while she was in the hospital as she asked Jesus to be her Lord and Savior. So I thank God for that. I thank the Lord for my wife as well, for the mother that she has been to the children that God has given to us. Honoring motherhood, of course, motherhood created by God as Eve became the mother of all living. God's work is through mothers. Psalms 127 verse 3 says that children are the heritage of the Lord. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And that is such a basic truth. But of course, the devil, who is the liar, teaches people otherwise, doesn't he? And it, you know, the old saying, if you tell people a lie long enough, they will believe it. And that's exactly what Satan has done. And Satan's all about lies, and he's all about death. But God says children are an heritage of the Lord. And without the Word of God, without truth, without the Holy Spirit, we would all fall prey, wouldn't we? Satan came in the garden, and he tempted and said, "Yea, hath God said?" Right away, he puts doubt into people's minds about what God has said. But God has said, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So Satan has that, his power is to blind the minds of men. And so we know that. We've lived during our days, during our time that God has given us. We see this. We see the righteous, and we see the unrighteous. We see the godly. We see the ungodly. Marv talked about our country. Our country has enemies. We have Marxists being voted into office. We have Muslims being voted into office. If our eyes are open just a little bit, we know this, don't we? And we know who's been getting elected. I remember in the 50s when Khrushchev came to the United Nations and he said, "We will bury you," talking to America. And he said, "We will bury you without a shot being fired one day. We will infiltrate," and that's what they do. And so Satan is behind lies, and Satan is behind convincing people that children are not children, that children can be exposed of, that mothers have the right to abort their babies. And this is why the battle for truth and over truth is so, so important. This is why it's so important that mothers pump truth into their children, that families put truth into their children's lives, into their minds, that they feed them truth, because God has said that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Jesus himself, he recognized the importance of motherhood. As he was hanging there on the cross, what did he say to his beloved disciple John? He said, "John, my mother, take care of my mother." He recognized his mother in John 19:27. John cared for her. He had love for his mother, didn't he? He had compassion for his mother. And as I've said a number of times this morning, Jesus gives grace for every possible situation of motherhood. Jesus gives grace, because mothers come in with different backgrounds, don't we? And we know that. And mothers struggle, and mothers sometimes don't have the support that they could have and what they could use, and they may not have the home situation that they would desire. But Jesus always gives grace. God always gives grace as people look to him. Christian motherhood is where the transfer of a Christian worldview takes place. Christian motherhood It's the key place. It's the key area. Certainly, fathers have a huge part in bringing up children. Fathers have a huge part in the home. But the Christian mother is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. The Christian mother, the mothers who are the ones who take those little children and nurse them and hold them first and cuddle them and are with them day in and day out. So Christian motherhood is where the transfer of the Christian worldview takes place. Thank God for godly mothers. Thank God for godly teachers. Thank God for teachers who teach children in churches, junior church workers. Thank God for these workers. Thank God for ladies who teach Bible studies. Thank God for ladies who teach other ladies the Bible. So Christian motherhood is where this transfer, this transmission of who God is, of knowing God, knowing sin, knowing personal sin, then coming to know about salvation, coming to know that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, coming to know that there's purpose in life, and that man's purpose is to know God, to make him known, and to bring glory to God. So many, many people today, they have no purpose in life. They don't know what life is all about. And there is Satan tempting them with the thoughts of suicide. But in the home, through Christian motherhood, it's the key place of the transfer of having and knowing of a Christian worldview. In the book of Acts chapter 9, let's turn over there, the book of Acts chapter 9, we read the name of a lady. We see the name of a lady in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 36, Acts 9, verse 36. And here we are going to hear the name of the first woman who was called a disciple of Jesus Christ. She was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and it's the first time, to my understanding, where the Word of God calls a lady a disciple of Christ. Acts 9, beginning at verse 36, please follow along as I read down through verse 42. And once again, what are we doing? We're honoring motherhood today. We are encouraging mothers. This great position that only you have. This privilege that only you have. Well, in Acts 9, verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. A certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. She was a disciple, and she was full of good works. Here's her life. She took in the teachings of Jesus Christ. She received the knowledge of Jesus Christ. She took it in. She embraced it, and now she what? She lives it out. Wednesday night, we were in Matthew chapter 10, and there Jesus is about ready to send out his disciples. And from one verse to the next, he calls them disciples. Disciples are who? Learners. And then he sends them out on a mission, and he calls them what? Apostles. Now they're called apostles. Well, this obviously took place in her life. She received knowledge, the knowing. She became, on her inside her very heart of hearts, she received it. It was in her. And then she lived it out, knowing. Then she became, knowing, being, and then doing. That's the cycle of the becoming a disciple and living out what has been taught to the disciple. So she here is full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Good works, alms deeds, that's the idea of taking care of the poor. She had a heart to take care of the poor. She had a heart of compassion for the needs of the poor. Verse 37, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. So she had died. Her body was washed. It was being prepared for burial. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Excuse me. Then Peter arose and went with them, When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. So here he comes, and Tabitha's there. She's passed. Her body's been washed. Peter is brought in. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Well, what is that? That's a testimony of her good works. She made coats, she made robes, she made tunics, she made these things for other people. This was her life. This was her kindness. These were her works. And these were her friends. And all the widows stood by weeping and so on. They were mourning the loss of their friend. They were mourning the loss of this disciple. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And so here the first woman called the disciple is Tabitha. And what do we see? We see that she was full of good works. She was full of good works. She made the coats, the garments, the robes, the tunics. She did the alms deeds, the acts of charity, the acts of mercy towards the poor. This was who she was. Now turn with me over to Titus chapter 2. She had left an imprint. She had left an example. She had left a legacy, a godly legacy. She had realized her purpose and her calling in life. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 2, verses 3 through 5, we read about the woman and her responsibility, her priorities, the godly woman. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged women likewise. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And what we see here is we see these 12 priorities that are mentioned, 12 areas. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. First of all, that the aged women, they've grown. They've gone through growth, spiritual growth, progressive sanctification. They've changed, and that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Holiness simply means what? Being set apart to God. Set apart unto God, dedicated to God, convinced of the life of living for God. So first of all, they are in behaviors becometh holiness. Secondly, not false accusers. They are people of integrity. They're not false accusers. They are people of character. The godly woman, they've grown up. And we're going to see here in a moment about some of the other things then they are to teach. Number three, not given to much wine. And we could take the time, but we're not going to do that. We could go in and study the whole context of Bible wines and so on. There's a great little booklet you can read online called The Laws of Fermentation by William Patton. It's been out there for years. But she is not given to much wine. Number four, she is teachers of good things. Mothers, wives, godly ladies, teachers of good things. This has come into her life. She has learned this. She has learned the information. She has received the knowledge. She has become knowing, being, doing. And now she shares it with others. Teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women. All right, now here's the older women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to be dedicated, seriously minded in regards to the things of the Lord, that they may be sober, sound mind, clear mind. Of course, that would certainly rule out drunkenness, but they are of sober minds. To love, they're teaching the young women to what? To love their husbands. To love their husbands. Secondly, to love their children. Love your husbands. Love your children. This is God's plan, because after all, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. And love your husbands. This is God's plan. Be people of love. And so this is being passed on. Verse 5, to be discreet. teaching others to be discreet. And the word discreet there, it means self-control, to be discreet. Sometimes we hear something and we say, now let's be discreet about this. That means let's not share it with everybody else. It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be known to everyone else. So let's be discreet. Let's be discreet in this. Let's be self-controlled, to be discreet. Next word there is to be chaste. Teaching others to be chaste. And that's simply pure. Of a pure heart and of a pure life and of a pure manifestation of one's life in front of others. To be chaste, to be pure in mind, in thought, in action, and then to be keepers at home. This is the privilege of the wife, of the Christian wife, of the mother, to be keepers at home, to be keepers of the home. And then it says to be good. The word good there is the word for kind, to be good. To be kind-hearted, to be good-natured, to be kind-hearted. And then lastly, to be obedient to their own husbands. To be obedient to their own husbands. And then at the end of verse 5, the reason, the necessity for all of this is that the word of God be not blasphemed. Amen. You see, sometimes people who are not believers have a better understanding of how to discern who a Christian should be than Christians have. Unbelievers know enough sometimes, many times, and they'll look and they'll be judging and they'll be discerning and they'll be watching. And even though they're not believers themselves, they can look at the behavior of people who call themselves Christians and they can be very spot on many times and say, well, that's not how a Christian is supposed to live. And so here the importance of this is so that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so this is what a godly woman is able to be a part of. God's plan. These privileges. These priorities. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And here Paul is instructing Timothy, and he says, young Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now in a moment we're gonna go back to Paul's understanding here. Timothy, you just continue in what you've been taught. And you know who taught you. And you had a mother and you had a grandmother who taught you. And they taught you sound doctrine. They taught you truth. And they were there transferring a Christian worldview into your heart and mind. And Paul says to Timothy, continue in these things. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. From a child. And of course that privilege mothers and fathers, but especially mothers have to pump truth into the hearts and the minds of their children. Where are children going to hear truth today? Are they going to hear it from the culture that they're a part of? Absolutely not. They need to hear it from their homes. They need to hear it from their mothers. They need to hear it from their parents. They need to hear it from their grandparents. They need to hear it from other believers who know the Lord. There is the battle for the mind that rages on. And Satan knows this. And tyrants from history have known this. Some of them have said, give me a child for the first three or four prominent years of their life, and I have them for a lifetime. And so Paul says to Timothy here, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The importance of coming to faith. and having faith in Christ Jesus, but first of all, knowing the scriptures, which teach truth, which teach purpose for mankind. And so this was something that Timothy had. What a rich heritage he had. What a blessing he had of this richness that he lived in. So let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go back, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. And so here, once again, Paul says to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Timothy, you have an unfeigned faith. Your faith is rock solid. Which that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Thank God for godly grandmothers. Amen. I think we heard some stories about that this morning, didn't we? We heard some testimonies about that this morning. We heard people honoring motherhood this morning, didn't we? So which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And Paul says, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Amen. What were they doing? They were giving truth to a young boy. They were giving him God's word. There's nothing more important. And they were living it. Yeah. They were living this before him as well. And so the influence that Timothy had in his life from a mother and a grandmother who knew the Lord. And, you know, we think about this, and I thought about this, and I really never had thought about this like I thought about it in preparation for this message. That influence that grandmother and mother had on Timothy, and then the influence that Timothy and his life has had on others has been an influence of how many? Millions. Millions of people who are believers, millions of believers who have had the Word of God have been able to read about Timothy, haven't they? They've been able to read about Eunice. They've been able to read about Lois. And they've been influenced as well by the Word of God and the teachings of the Word of God, and how a Christian heritage can go on for generations and generations, and for years and for decades and for hundreds of years and for thousands of years to even millions of people. The power and the importance of influence, the importance of training. And this training, what does it do? It brings an unfeigned faith. It brings resolve. It brings leadership. It brings people who are dedicated to the cause of Jesus Christ, and they're leaders, and they take stands, and they say, this is what is right. This is what is truth. God's word is truth. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. But this is truth. And so the influence just goes on and continues to go on and touches the lives of many, many other people as well. Mothers, this is your influence. This is what you're able to do. This is what you're able to bring about. We think of Hannah, and that she had a desire to have a child and dedicate him to the Lord, and he would be Samuel. We think of Bathsheba and Solomon and her love for her son Solomon. We think of Susanna Wesley and the influence that she had on her sons Charles and John, and how they, through generations and through decades and hundreds of years, have influenced the lives of many, many others. It's said that George Washington's mother was a God-fearing woman. It's said that Nero's mother was a murderous woman. And it fits, doesn't it? But godly mothers, what an important position you have. What influence that you have as you are there raising up children, teaching them the Word of God. Amen. And may we continue to promote godly motherhood. Amen. May we show our appreciation to our ladies, to our mothers, to those in our midst, as was shared this morning. And we took kind of a long time, but it was good. It was good because godly motherhood was honored this morning, wasn't it? And the Word of God certainly promotes it and honors it as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time in your Word. We thank you for being able to gather today. And your Word is truth, Father, and I pray that all of us would do all that we can possibly humanly do to pray for godly mothers, to pray for their capacity to teach and to influence. And Father, of course, you have to build that house. And Lord, your Spirit has to work to convert souls. We know that. And Lord, we uphold Christian mothers. We uphold your working. We honor that. We thank you, Father. And so, Lord, as we live in an age of continued darkness, Lord, we know that your plan is right and it's holy and it's pure. And so, Father, I pray this morning that mothers would be encouraged, that mothers would see the great responsibilities that God has given to them. And may none of us ever overlook this. May we uphold it, Father, forever. And Lord, if there be any here today who are not in Christ, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them, draw them, convict them of their sin, convict them of their need, convict them that they would realize that if they were to die without Jesus Christ, they would not go to heaven, but they would go to hell, a place, the Bible says, that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And so, Lord, may you be honored, may you be lifted up, may you be exalted, and we pray all of this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.